Welcome to the Dr. Dobbs Journal podcast. I'm your host, Mike Riley.
In the first part of this multi-part podcast series on rich internet application development, Ben Watson, Senior Manager for Technical Evangelism at Adobe, discusses the Flex 2 platform and the benefits that the technology provides to both developers and end users.
Macromedia has been working on this notion of rich internet applications for a long time. So I think, you know, we've shared this sort of common vision for a desktop application-like user experience. And I think we've shared that vision with many other vendors. So if you look at Microsoft with the Avalon approach, the Eclipse work that's been done around RCP, et cetera, that we have, you know, some of the best and brightest minds in the computer science industry focused on finding that convergent point between the user experience of web-based applications or browser applications and what you can accomplish in a typical desktop installed application. The important part of the history behind Flex is that in the Flash platform, we had attracted a very large audience of developers, very dedicated, very specific developer type that were focused on building these great multimedia experiences, integrating audio and video, illustration, photography into these multimedia interfaces, typically used as a interstitial or a commercial or possibly a fully immersive media type experience. And some of the really clever developers in the Flash space were actually using ActionScript, the underlying programming interface, to be able to write full-scale applications. And this was a very clumsy approach. It wasn't really meant to do that. We had this timeline-based metaphor that was in the Flash platform that was really best served for building media-type experiences. However, if you were, you know, you could get away from that timeline, you could write things in core ActionScript, and you could build full-on business-type applications. What we did with Flex was take that to the next step. Instead of just expanding the capabilities for full applications inside of the Flash IDE, we built Flex, which is really meant as an application development environment based on that same platform. So the Flex programming model, it builds on the strengths of two popular development paradigms. One, you've got a markup language, and also traditional object-oriented programming languages. So using our XML markup language, which we call MXML, it's very much like HTML, you can declaratively lay out a user interface for the application, and you're not bound to the timeline that you would have used in Flash. MXML includes a way richer set of tags than HTML. It allows you to create your own components. We supply a lot of components out of the box in the, right inside the Flex Builder interface. And the first time an MXML application is requested, it's basically compiled into Flash bytecode, the same way a JSP is compiled into a servlet, for example. The major difference with what we're doing is that generated bytecode, let's call that the view of the application, is actually executed on the client side by the Flash player. We've got a framework inside of the virtual machine in the Flash player that you can declaratively call from within the Flex Builder interface. And when you're compiling your view on the client side, you're providing users with a much more engaging experience than ever was possible with traditional HTML-based applications.
What would you say are the main objectives of Flex 2?
The main objectives of Flex 2 is to make rich internet applications become synonymous with Web 2.0. This is about new brands, new experiences, new business models, developers rethinking what the application means. So we've grown used to the way these desktop applications behave, and we've also learned at the same time how web applications behave. And we know that the users can do this. So now what we want to be able to do is blend the two, find a home inside that rich internet application world. And the result of this is that developers can build these amazing applications, and they can help their companies participate in larger and more global conversations. They can have better brand experiences. We were talking about, you know, whether you've got great design or you've got talking celebrities or audio events mapped to, you know, every single function in your application, personalized feature content, the fastest service editorial integrated over top of maps, multimedia, talking bios, you've got someone sitting at an anchor desk, you've got fully 3D immersive worlds, you've got seamless transitions between all these states, but you've got these with one loading screen, one time. We make that possible to give developers total control over how the brand gets out into the world. And it allows developers to customize applications in such a way that this fully immerses the user in the brand, in the experience of that brand. And if you do it right, you actually get the user, you actually get immersed in the user's environment as well. So you allow subtle changes to the content. You make minor, you know, architectural design changes on the fly during the experience. And in very little time, you've got audiences both viewing and interacting with your content, and it seems to them that they're interacting with it on their own terms. I think another goal behind Flex 2 is Adobe's concerted effort to move into the enterprise. So this is about changing the enterprise. Business gets a new and improved user interface, great design, and everything functions in this real-time environment. And it's fair to say new and improved here because we had an old one before. We had an old interface, and we could already use that. So we're not necessarily building a new enterprise, although I've seen some pretty good examples in the Web 2.0 world of that as well. But we're building a new face on that enterprise and giving a better way for employees to get their jobs done. And it's improved because it's based on all the years of learning we've put into this. So some of the best and brightest minds in the business working on this technology for years. So it's not necessarily about, you know, taking that move into software as a service, but definitely software is a service, right? You want it to be able to provide a service to your end user, to your customer, to your employee, to your staff, and you want it to be able to enable a multitude of services, a multitude of business processes to be easily tied together, orchestrated, and architected in such a way as you should get a better than desktop experience. And I think there's another, and this flies in the IT space because it provides a single point for upgrades. So no one's giving up control over their application or the version. In fact, that's okay because from a development standpoint, you simply mapping these events or business processes that you know your users need access to, and now the interactions are taking place more efficiently. No surprises, no random approach, no crazy workarounds that are, you know, beyond the scope of what IT can get to.
Why is Flex a better choice for building rich internet applications, or better known as RIAs or RIAs, compared to other RIA alternatives like Ajax or Java Web Start Apps?
At the simplest level, we just give you way more in the box. Flex Builder 2 gives you a whole bunch of controls, data grids and drop-down lists and text editors and drawing planes and the canvassing tool and the animation between the states and the transitions, right? So you think the holy grail of a rich internet application is to write one set of code and have that code run on any device or any computer in the world. So we give you all that code. We give you all that user interface. We give you the capability to have your application target a runtime that's available in on top of different operating systems, and the ability to manage that as a single code base and then deploy that anywhere your users go. You can take a rich internet application built with Flex offline. You've got a local cache and a local database that you can use. And I think also Flex inherently reads all the microformats. So if you're using RSS or if you're using flavors of XML, that we can, you know, read and interpret those speeds right in the player. Because the logic doesn't have to be rewritten again and again in the application. We provide that out-of-the-box experience.
Adobe isn't generally known as an application development platform company among, say, the internet elite, and seems to be facing an uphill effort against other companies such as Microsoft, Sun, and, you know, these other large companies that have been firmly entrenched in sort of the platform space. What makes Adobe a company that RIA developers should take seriously?
Well, I know the one thing that I've heard again and again from working with developers, and that if there's one thing Adobe does know how to do, it's make great software. So while we haven't maybe had the, you know, the legacy of experience helping developers build great software, we have had a few thousand very bright developers working on some pretty amazing software. And I think that internal experience and that internal discipline and the internal process around building great applications to some degree can be brought to bear in how we help our customers in turn build their applications. And the other half of the equation is Macromedia. It's the acquisition of a company that was pretty well known in that space, especially around the web development tools. And to some degree, it's like a sister and brother, or it's like a great marriage that you found where you had two great sets of capabilities that were complementary. And when you pull them together, the natural result of that, from a scientific viewpoint anyway, is a curiosity around what other people could make out of it.
Internet purists, internet application developers, say that rich internet applications like those built in Flex, or even Ajax for that matter, break the traditional net surfing paradigm because it breaks when the browser's back button is pressed. Given the fact that, you know, there's still this limitation of those that type of application, does the browser need to change to accommodate this defect?
That would be my first answer, would be let's kill the back button. Or at least Yeah, sorry. Because I should have boldly gone where I intended to go in the first place. The back button's only there because applications didn't have logical pass-through, then the users knew how to follow, right? So they were like, oh, my goodness, where am I now, right? Hit the back button. It's like it's like pulling the escape chute, kind of. So I think applications need, you know, they need a safety harness of some type, absolutely. But I think that safety harness needs to be a lot more mature.
Are there plans in the works, as far as you know of, that either Flex 2 or, you know, some other approaches might evolve to help maintain the state of the application in light of a back button?
Mike, that is an awesome leading question. So I think one of the really exciting things for developers that are willing to invest the time in learning how to write great applications in Flex, to invest some time in understanding how MXML gives you a lot more fine-grained control over a user interface, to understand how ActionScript can, you know, build an awesome component that you can reuse again and again inside of your applications and sort of set your style apart from the pack, if you will. That the benefit is going to come in the next generation of applications that we're going to enable. So we've been talking a fair amount already about a project that we call Apollo. And what Apollo provides is a complete desktop cross-OS runtime that your applications that are built in Flex, Flash, Ajax, Ruby, whatever, can be deployed in. We give you a non-browser runtime that essentially allows you to install the application and run it as a native application on the desktop.
Is it Adobe's version of what something like Java Web Start should have been?
Yes, I would say it is Adobe's version of what something like Java Web Start should have been. I think it's kind of more than that, because we're providing the shell, and that shell can be exploited by a number of different approaches to how you want to build applications. But at the same time, we are giving you a bunch of approaches that you can take that will be proven second generation Flex technology, eighth, ninth generation Flash technology, eighth generation Acrobat and PDF technology that you can use to provide that output or that experience inside of the application. And we'll continue to evolve our tool set to provide workflows between the designer and the developer, between the photographer and the videographer, between the coder and the editor, that allow virtual teams of highly skilled artists and technicians and developers to collaborate in order to target the Apollo runtime and build these great experiences that are free from the browser.
For more information about the Flex 2 platform, visit www.flex.org. For more information about this and other Dr. Dobbs Journal podcasts, visit us on the web at www.ddj.com.
For Dr. Dobbs Journal, I'm Mike Riley.